the CUNA Mutual Group Discovery Conference in this beautiful town called Madison, Wisconsin. And in the studio lounge, we are graced with the presence of Holly Fehring from Filene. How are you, Holly?
I'm doing well. How are you? I'm
doing great. Doing great.
Nice to be back. It's been a while.
Yes. Yeah. Thanks for letting me hang out in your town for a while.
Oh, of course.
It's a pretty cool place. Good food, good people, good times.
Yeah.
All right. And speaking of good times, Filene has one of the most recent, we were talking before the recording, that one of the more recent reports that Filene has put out is called Who Do Credit Unions Belong To? And this one kind of piqued my interest right off the bat. And so we're going to talk about three, I guess, sectors or factors in this report. And the first one kind of delved around the political realm,
yep.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I'll let you explain, because you know it better than I, so I'm just kind of setting it up for you, Holly.
Yeah, thank you.
So around the political
part. No, this one, as a marketing person, this is one of my favorite reports that we've done recently at Filene. And it involved a survey, a national survey of both credit union members and non-members to get their insights on what they feel about credit unions and what they know about credit unions, and then putting that against the backdrop of their political affiliations. And so the report is called Who Do Credit Unions Belong To?, which is really kind of a silly name, but it's really, in a way, looking at who belongs to credit unions.
Yeah.
So who do you think belongs to credit unions? What would you guess?
I think people in Madison are like the typical credit union member, because
right.
I look around and it's just good, friendly people doing nice things for each other, and it's just a cool little, I don't want to say little town, it's the capital of Wisconsin for granted, but it's a great town in Midwestern America, you know?
Yeah, and I think it depends
That's
on who
I envision
you,
it, yeah.
It depends on who you ask, and I think some people would say, oh yeah, definitely more liberal people they understand credit unions and that's their jam. But then there's other people that are more like traditional conservatives that are very fiscally conservative, and they like the idea of keeping the system of the way money is lent out to a smaller group of people that are kind of stewards of their own well-being and financial well-being in that sense. So that the results were actually surprising, I think, to some people, to see that Democrats, Republicans, and Independents all really like credit unions. They all felt that credit union values are in alignment with their own values.
Yeah, their own party's values,
Yeah, so that tells me good news for credit unions.
Yeah.
Everybody loves credit unions.
There's an opportunity there, it sounds like.
Absolutely. But, as we all know, credit unions still have, 7-8% of market share. And so what's missing? You know, what's the gap out there? What's the disconnect? So that kind of part of that first part of the report looks at how people in the world in general perceive credit unions. The second part of the report, which I think was fascinating, looked at how credit unions are talking about and representing themselves. And so the researcher did an assessment of, I think, 378 different credit union websites, just looking at the homepage, and put them into two categories. One was that there was some sort of mission statement or values that was clear and present on the homepage. And then the other category was that these credit unions are indistinguishable from any other financial institution. Like, if you didn't look at the logo or the name at the top, you'd have no idea what
website
it was.
Yeah, it's just kind of a cookie cutter template type thing, yeah.
Unfortunately, 83% of those those websites that were looked at fell into that second category, were indistinguishable.
Something needs to be done here, it sounds like.
So then when you look at that and you say, okay, well, we know that people have a positive opinion of credit unions, but credit unions aren't really telling people they're a credit union. And I don't mean...
Or what they represent, their mission, basically. So
right, exactly. So I don't mean like going into the details around what a cooperative business model is.
Right.
But really anything. It can range to we're here to serve this employee group, we're here to serve women, we're here to serve veterans, we're here mm-hmm. to serve immigrants, mm-hmm. we're here to serve this community,
right.
and make this community succeed.
Yep.
So why hide that?
Yeah, exactly. That would be my first question too, to those 83% that are mm-hmm. undistinguishable. And it seems like such an easy fix too. You know, it sounds like something that's, I guess, I mean, for lack of more information, but the marketing department, you know, could get on that pretty quickly,
yeah.
and get a message together and put it on mm-hmm. the website and mm-hmm. get it out there, because the proof is in the pudding, so to speak.
Right.
The results speak for themselves because it works. Right.
So if you need extra incentive as a decision maker or marketing person at your credit union, go look at the report. And we did a special piece where we had our economist crunch the numbers mm-hmm. between those two different categories
yeah.
of credit unions based on their website homepage. We crunched it against financial performance metrics mm-hmm. that we have available, and those that were in that minority group of they did distinguish themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They were outperforming financially on every measure
wow.
that we look at compared to the group that was indistinguishable.
Wow. See, I mean, that would be such a telling report for any credit union marketing department anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hey, you know what? We need to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it seems like such a simple fix.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. This is such good information.
Mm-hmm.
I love this. And mm-hmm. there's so many, and like the Democrats, the Republicans, the independents, they all like credit unions and what they stand for, because,
mm-hmm.
well, they stand for some really good things, you know?
Yeah.
And so who wouldn't want to be behind that? Again, there's another opportunity there for credit unions to really take that ball and run with it.
Yeah. And I think what this report does, or it can do, is help alleviate some fear that you are maybe ostracizing a certain group
mm-hmm.
by taking a value statement and
mm-hmm.
putting that front and center.
Mm-hmm.
The data shows that no, in fact, it's not, you know, standing up for your community or your mission or what you believe in as an organization is not going to turn away Republicans or Democrats
right.
or independents.
Right.
It's actually going to bring in probably more of both sides.
Mm-hmm.
And the only group that this report found that feels not as favorable to credit unions is those that identified themselves as not often voting
mm-hmm.
and potentially not participating in traditional financial institutions
mm-hmm.
in general.
Mm-hmm.
They feel disenfranchised
mm-hmm.
from, you know, systems in
right.
general.
Right.
An opportunity there exists for credit unions to explain how they are actually in existence to serve community and people first.
Right. So we got to get to the root of the problem with those folks. So yeah,
mm-hmm.
and so therefore, again, there's another messaging opportunity to get out there and
mm-hmm.
say, hey, you know, we're not gonna fee you to death. You know, that's not our deal.
Yeah.
So our deal is to help you get on a solid financial footing and move forward in
mm-hmm.
life.
Mm-hmm.
And you actually have a stake in the game. You have a voice in this organization. You know,
right.
you're not a shareholder.
Right.
You know, we're not here for the profits. You know, although profits are okay, then we gotta stay in business. But you are a member owner, and so therefore you have a voice in this company. So
mm-hmm.
I think the disenfranchised folks would be all over that, I would
yeah.
think. They would really embrace that.
Yeah, I think that there's an element of being told, like, you're not important, you don't matter, your vote doesn't matter, your opinion doesn't matter,
mm-hmm.
You're not a big enough customer for us to give you
yeah.
that extra special care.
Yeah.
I think there's nothing wrong in a credit union trying to explain to somebody that as a member you have as much importance as anybody else
mm-hmm.
in the organization.
Mm-hmm.
And it maybe sounds too good to be true,
yeah.
but I've seen credit unions bring people in and they've been turned away from other institutions time and time and time
yeah.
again, and
yeah.
almost on the brink of giving up even trying to get to a financial place that's a little bit better,
mm-hmm.
And then the credit union changes the game for them.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, putting all these together, and my brain just goes opportunity, opportunity,
mm-hmm.
opportunity, instead of like, okay, well, they're just disenfranchised or that type of, you know, or it's too political, all that type
yeah.
of stuff. I think there's just so much opportunity for growth here. My gosh, you know? So what do credit unions need to do? Obviously, aside from the simple fix of the messaging on the website, that sounds pretty darn easy. Is there anything else that credit unions can do? I mean, I know this is kind of maybe off the top of your head or whatever, but
I think it might be
in the report.
There's really no wrong strategy to take here, but I think that it's important to kind of take a step back and assess the strategy that you want to be on, rather than kind of being an accidental strategy that you've fallen into, or that's just the way you've always done things, or you start to go, let's be really bold and go this way, but oh, now I'm a little bit nervous that that's not going to work, so let's pull back, and then so you're kind of in this limbo area. The report lays out three different strategic paths, and I think that it would do well for credit union to just kind of assess how comfortable they are on each of those paths and look at the pros and cons that we've been able to look at and say are affiliated with each strategy. So what I mean by that is that from the research we've kind of distilled it down to, okay, you know, maybe you're a credit union where you want to stay above the fray, you want to get absolutely have no messaging or anything related to political or social polarizing topics. You can do that, and you can do that well. I've seen many examples of credit unions, again, that say, like, maybe we're here to serve working mothers, and that's kind of just your focus, and you don't talk about anything else.
Right, that's fine.
Yep. And so, but that is your niche group then,
right.
And so you're going to have to really, really understand their needs and really speak to them.
Yep.
And then you can also say, no, we're going to double down on what our mission is and what value we stand for. Again, there's credit unions that are great examples of that, that say we want to serve the immigrant population and we are not going to shy away from any political issues that come up with that. Any sort of, people might say, this credit union is not for me because I don't believe in what you're doing.
Right.
And then you feel comfortable, you have to feel comfortable saying,
exactly,
that's okay, you can go to another financial institution.
Right.
But this is what we stand for.
Again, that's your niche, you know?
Yep.
So, yeah.
Yep. And then the last one, I think, is it's a good middle ground for credit unions that kind of want to be mission forward, but still appeal to more than just one niche. And that's really focusing on your community and the people in your community, because as the research showed, and it's kind of a no-brainer, but nobody disagrees that they want to see their community succeed.
Right.
You talk about how you're there for your community, you're there to support other small businesses, to support the financial well-being of the people that live there, to keep the money local. Again, it doesn't need to be any sort of stab or jab at
any particular
anything
thing.
Else, but that is what you're there for, and if people are into that, come on by.
Exactly. And I think the important thing as well in each of these aspects is to show people, is to walk your talk, to show people the action, the activities that you are doing that's based on your mission. So, and I think once they see that, like, oh wow, these guys are for real. So,
I mean, empowering your staff to do that. That, since we're here in Madison, a great example of something similar, I think, is the Willie Street Grocery Co-op. And it's an organization that I'm proud to be a part of, because when you go to festivals and events throughout Madison, you see their logo on everything. They contribute to so many community events. And they also have such a great following. People put their bumper sticker on their car, and it's a grocery store. And who puts a bumper sticker for a grocery store in your car? But it's an identifier. It's saying, like, I'm one of the people that belong here, and I support what they support. They support what I support. And I think a credit union could have that same, like, walk the talk.
Most definitely.
In a community, by being out there, by supporting all of the community efforts, and just being a really big player in supporting the people.
I agree. And one credit that comes to mind, I know there's probably a lot out there that do this really, really well. But the one that comes to my mind, just off the top of my head, is Van City.
Yeah.
They really walk their talk, and they show it.
Yeah.
And they are constantly out in the community doing some amazing, amazing mm-hmm. things. So if you want an example, Van City is a great yeah. example. I'm sure there are a bunch more, but that was the first one that kind of popped into my brain. So,
absolutely. Yeah.
Indeed. Anything else, Holly, to kind of wrap up here?
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Where can we find out more information? Yes.
Yes. So if you're interested in checking out that research report, yes. Filene.org/470 That's
okay.
the report number.
Okay.
So that'll get you to it right away. Or you okay. can just go to the Filene website and search for it. Who do credit unions belong to? We've got the full report and then the summary slides of the key points, a lot of which that I just talked about.
Okay.
But there's this cool little printout on the financials too. So if you don't believe me, go check that out. We did our math, and we looked at the financial performance of the credit unions, like I was talking about
yeah,
earlier.
That's so
you can
powerful.
Print that out, bring that to your boss,
yeah.
and say, you know, here's this the business works. Case for why mm-hmm. we need to do this.
Mm-hmm. And your podcast too. Don't forget about
yeah,
your podcast.
Yes, thank you. Yes. Yeah, so the author of that report, Andrew Turner, he is a professor here at UW Madison, and we got him in the podcast studio over
cool.
at Filene,
cool.
and he sat down with us for 45 minutes, and he talks through, so if you don't want to read the full report, but you want to hear it right from the researcher directly,
mm-hmm.
he's going to talk you through all of the key findings and the interesting points that he came across doing this research.
Okay.
So you get a little bit of a nuanced look at the research through
wow.
his eyes.
That's a lot, but it's well worth it. Good stuff here. All right. Filene's very own Holly Fearing in the studio lounge. Thank you so much.
Of course.